Hello and welcome to the Tech on Toast podcast. My name's Chris Fletcher and I'm your host. Tech on Toast exists to connect hospitality to technology. Search for your best problem-solving tech on our marketplace, listen to both operators and tech experts on our podcast, or just meet up with the brilliant people who are helping innovate the hospitality industry as we enter a new era. Welcome to Tech on Toast. The Tech on Toast podcast is brought to you today by REMS Hospitality. Benchmark your restaurant across other venues securely and gain market share. To find out more about REMS, head over to their website, remshospitality.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the next episode of Tech on Toast. And this week, we're delighted to be joined by Aaron Solomon, co-founder of Amble. Aaron, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And we're in a curtain-drawn BrewDog today because it's half term and the kids are everywhere, which is a nightmare.
There's a slide in the middle of the restaurant. What do you expect?
We really are. So, Aaron, tell me a little bit about you. How did you get here and how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I mean, it's been a busy day, but, you know, let's go back.
Go way back.
A year and a half ago when I sort of founded the business, and it's been a crazy ride, to be honest. I was in banking for 10 years. So I left school at 17, went straight into finance, and then the idea sort of popped into my head to start a restaurant app. So when I told my parents I was quitting my comfortable banking job to start
an app. I just sit here with lots of founders going, I had this idea. And my mum and dad said, what?
Oh, they weren't happy. Yeah. But now they are. Yeah. They're supportive, always supportive.
You know. You're happy, right? Are you happy?
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. And how did you know you had this idea, but how did actually, I mean, having an idea is one thing, but moving it forward is another, right?
Yeah. So I was out always with sort of clients, going to venues or always sort of, you know, entertaining clients. That was my job, right? And we came back from the pandemic and it was that time where you had to book everything, right? And my manager at the time said, oh, can you book us a table for 7 tonight? And I was on the current booking apps and looking around. I thought, oh, my God, this is just a bit tiresome. It's the same venues, the same thing. And I just said out loud, why can I not just say 7 of us need a table and it broadcast out to venues? Because I was on Google and I was like, I have to click on each one and check. Why can I not just ping them all? And one of them goes, yes, we can have you. And then from there, I just thought, hang on a minute. That's an idea. Basically like Uber, but for bars and restaurants, because it's timeless. Time and time again, I'm walking around the streets. My friends are going, where do we go now? And you're trying one place or the other, and it's not quite anything
easy.
Do
you know what? I read, I think it was in the Evening Standard or something. You'd done an article a while ago and when you were raising the money. And I was reading about it, and I often find on stag do's or nights out with the boys or when the girls are all out together, you kind of go to a city that maybe you're not frequenting normally, and you end up there, and you do get to that point like, what should we do? And it ends up being a pretty dodgy night. And then some people say some of the best nights are when you stumble across something,
100%.
Right? Yeah, and I that problem is a problem that needs fixing.
Yeah, I'm not from the hospitality space, so I knew there was something there and it just sort of hit me. And I basically went to a close family friend who's our chairman and said, look, there's something here. And he went, yeah, you know, you're right. So sort of we got a bit of money to get funding and test it. And then basically what I did to validate it was I've been in sales my whole life. So I walked every day after I commuted to London, so about 2 hours commuting from Essex to where I was working, West London. And I walked around London every day after work, knocking on restaurant doors, basically with my prototype saying, would this be something you want? And then each venue I went to sort of gave me a lot more input on how something would work alongside their current systems. I didn't want to get into management systems because those are legacy systems that are in there. But I wanted something like, how can I make hospitality accessible? How can I connect real active diners and let them see that real-time availability and sort of just connect it really quickly? Because people now want stuff like that, right? You've got Just Eat, Deliveroo, Getty, Gorillas, all them apps that are grocery. You click a button and what you want arrives. How do you do that for getting a table, getting into a bar, or getting into a restaurant? No one wants to be sort of caught off guard. You just want it quick, easy. Where can I go and do it? So, yeah, it's launched and just sort of started.
And do you know what? And it's great for the consumer end, but actually for the restaurant, which is my background, filling those, you're desperate for those people. Those people that don't, you know, you set your shift up based on bookings, right? You spent years with our little cheat sheet saying, look, there's 25 people booked tonight. That means we have to have X amount of staff. But it's quite depressing because some nights you'll look at that booking sheet, particularly on a Monday to Tuesday, Wednesday night, and you'll be like, oh my God, there's 8 people booked. Why am I even here?
Well, it's hard for a venue. Like, whilst we are very, very consumer focused because people have if it doesn't work straight away, they won't use it again. And yes. It's very difficult and expensive to get a customer, but the app does not work without support of venues. So we are still actively now kind of mixing scalable and non-scalable. So, you know, we're on the ground speaking to restaurants and have actually an amazing relationship with them who are influencing the app. We are starting to get some restaurants sort of self on board now that it's coming out, which is good. But, you know, like you said, it's very hard for a venue, especially with the cost of living and it's affecting, you know, they've had it tough. They've had Brexit, they've had cost of living and everything.
It's never ending.
Never ending. So then not being able to forecast ahead staff and everything and sending people home, no one wants to do that. It's tough. So if we can do anything to almost top up your capacity and basically digitize walk-ins, then great. And also the other tough thing is the competitiveness of a new venue marketing, like being known. Because obviously, you know, there's a lot of pay to play in the booking space at the moment, i.e. the more you pay, the more you're at the top. Yeah. And what about those new great venues that are opening here, there and everywhere that don't get seen? So obviously that's why we've gone mainly location-based as well, and give everyone sort of a free shot to market and you know, level playing field.
I think it's all, and as you mentioned, you can't do this stuff without money. And
no.
On camera, so Aaron pulled a face. But you raised a bit of cash recently. Mm-hmm. And I'm always interested to ask, actually, and I don't ask, I always forget to ask, that actually as a founder and going through that process and raising cash, regardless of your background, regardless of whether you come from money or whether you come from banking, whatever you've done in the past, the pressure that brings with it, the strategic pressure as well that brings with it, must be...
Do you know what? I went to the LSE and did like a talk. They did like a founders talk thing, and it was really nice. And one of the guys or one of the students said, "Oh, what's the biggest challenge as a founder? Is it fundraising?" And I was like, "It's kind of your job to do that. Like, you have to even start your idea.
Oxygen.
You need it's not. Oh God, here's money, and let's. And it goes quick, and you have to be smart with it. And actually, gets harder to raise." When you've raised, because you need to show, one, that you can spend the money properly, two, you're actually growing with it, and two,
prove it, right?
So everyone can put money into a good idea, but you've really got to like nail what that idea is, i.e. is it simple? Is it going to make money? So if you get your unit economics to stack up, i.e. it's going to cost me X to get a customer that's going to generate Y and it's believable, then you've kind of got the start of a business. Then it's just about what you're doing about starting, i.e. we're hitting the ground every day, getting the restaurants on, making sure they stick with us rather than going somewhere else. All these things, you know, branding, all these things sort of contribute to the idea. But, you know, raising is, you'll always be raising. I mean, I think it was even when I first started, I actually spoke with James Brown at BrewDog, and he was like, once you raise and it's done, you start, you know, you're almost starting again. Like, it is never ending.
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
And are you enjoying it? Because it's interesting. You said you came out of school at 17. Mm. You went into banking, but now you're running your own thing. Mm. And is it just two of you?
Two co-founders.
Right. And it's a responsibility, obviously. Are you enjoying that responsibility?
Yeah, it's completely changed me as a person. Like, I mean, even my relationship with my wife, not that it's changed that for the bad, but like just how I think about things and appreciate things and do things. You know, I was in a really good job that took me 10 years to get there, and obviously going back to something like this, which is a massive risk.
Yeah,
it's tough and it does take a toll sometimes. But you know, it would if everyone did it, it'd be boring, and it's never going to be easy. And this kind of business is a marketplace. Like, it's not like we just need customers to subscribe to something and that's it. Like, we need massive venues, massive customers, the right venues, the right customers using the app constantly to start making it work. Like, it's a big one, but it's a hard one, and that's the risk of a marketplace app. You need essentially two businesses in one.
And we'll put the download link on the episode here when we send it out.
But nice.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about it then. So if people want to download it, they can go and get it on the App Store, right?
Yeah, both Google and Apple, yeah.
And in like, give us your best pitch for Amble.
Oh, mate.
I know. Well, you said you're in sales now. You put yourself in a position.
Yeah.
But you know, if I'm absolutely no clue what you do, can you tell me what you do?
Yeah, so for the consumer side, basically what you're doing is allowing you to see nearby restaurants with their real-time capacity. So those times where you're walking around the street or need someone to go tonight, tomorrow, wherever, need that quick answer, it allows you to put what you needed and broadcast out to venues. So to the venue side, what it actually does that's different is it allows them to see those nearby active customers.
They can see who's about.
Yeah, so they could be like, oh, well, there's a table of four down the road that want a table. We've just had a cancellation, bang. So you know when you broadcast out, need to be picked up from here, broadcast out to drivers on Uber, instead of it being drivers, it's restaurants and bars.
Love that.
So you can continue your night out as long as you'd like and have it quick and easy. The nice thing that we're seeing is when people have used the app, they are using it again and again.
Yeah.
Which is the key thing.
Yeah, that's the growth, right? Because you'll be able to, the stickiness of your customers is important, right?
It's all about the experience, and that's why it goes back to how we are with the venues. Like, you need that customer to turn up and the venue know what Amberley is and turn up and go, oh yeah, great, because that customer then comes back again. It's good all round, you know. So that's, it's the whole education
people, piece. People, you know, like I say, I'm going to get an Uber. Are people getting an Amble?
One day, hopefully. One day, hopefully. Yeah,
I love that.
Want to make it into a verb, that's the key, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because I think that's the nature of everything. And then you started at the start talking about quick, you know, people want that. And I think it's totally true. I look at my kids and the way they behave. It's just that they expect it. It's not, you know, yeah. I mean, I know you've built something, but they wanted that now, right? They wanted 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, people are now using apps for everyday life, Amazons, Ubers. Like, people are used to it. It's not calling places or doing it online anymore.
When's the last time you phoned a restaurant? I mean, I just can't even think. Do they even have phones anymore?
Not since I made the app.
Amble destroyed phones.
Yeah. But it kind of does sort of replace the phone call, walk-in, email, TikTok, Instagram, all these other channels, and try and get it all into one place for them. But yeah, I mean, there's other barriers like the deposits and filling out details every time and all this and waiting for a response. And I kind of wanted to remove all those barriers to entry. So it's like, I need this. Who wants to take it? And it lets the venues kind of bid for that business.
I love
it. So it's first come, first serve, rather than same restaurant, same thing every time. It's actually going, you know, the most active restaurants win.
It's variety. I mean, which is what we all want, right? I imagine the biggest problem you have is the traffic, is getting people onto the app, right? Getting people to download the app. How do you go about approaching that challenge? Because that sounds, because with anything like this, it's just the consumer facing stuff.
Yeah.
It's just marketing, right? It's huge.
Yeah. Word of mouth.
Yeah.
You need, because I've very rarely downloaded anything unless my friends told me about it or I've sort of seen it in the time when I've needed it. And it's difficult to do that. However, I do think it's easier now to get your word out there with social media, with
stuff like this.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, like, people do listen to things like this, people are on social media, and when you've got an app and a brand that kind of does resonate with people, they're like, oh, I've been in that situation, then it's a bit easier to get through. But it's more of a you know, a comfort thing. Like, we need, you know, it's a chicken and egg, right? Because you can't get customers on your app without venues.
Yeah.
So you need to get all the venues on and happy and stick with you for a couple of months, 2 months, 3 months, while you get customers. And then when you get the customers, you've got to get them working. Like, it's nuts.
Yeah.
So we're in that stage now.
It is a game. It's like anything, I suppose. And actually, if you go back before the tech world, everything went digitized, actually, word of mouth would be how we found a new bar and how we found a new, you know, you'd say, your mate to say, try this club, it's down the street.
But it's little things to try and get it more word of mouth, like referring friends. And, you know, when you make a booking for four or five guests or whatever, you can actually then ping it to your four or five friends that you've done it to keep. So there's all these little things that we need to keep doing and sort of grow
that
back.
Continuous reach, continuous share.
It's constantly. And what we've seen is we've now just launched the full app, because we're in the test phase till the end of March. We've now just in April launched the full app, which allows you to book, extend the booking window, because it was about getting venues, using it, feeling it, and sort of getting some customers through. So now we've got the sort of the tech right, we can keep expanding it. It's sort of, we'll keep continuously growing and optimizing the app. But we talk to our event customers all the
time.
You're
never going to sleep again. You'll be iterating for the rest of your life.
It's never going to stop. It's continuously just growing, continuously.
And I was in here 3-4 weeks ago with Open Table, Robin Chang from Open Table.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about
reservations. I think I actually sent him a message on LinkedIn, like, when I first thought of the idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he's an ex-kayak. Before that investment. So he's been in that world. And I know he's got an interest in anything that's...
Yeah, I've never directly spoken to him, but obviously...
Lovely guy. He's listening. Sure. Hey, Robin. He talked about in 90 bookings, which is a phrase I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how actually that part of reservations for restaurants has increased. I think he said about around 80%.
In 90 bookings, in 90 minutes.
Yeah, so within 90 minutes of arriving at the restaurant, which to me said they're walk-ins, right? They're people who would otherwise walk
on the spot.
Yeah, which is really interesting. And that must tie into what you're doing in terms of proving your point.
But it helps.
Yeah.
But it is, because now, because hospitality is becoming more accessible and people are using more tech to do that, then you can go out rather, you know, when you want to. Because
I just
want to
go for dinner.
I just want to go for dinner now. We're not cooped up anymore.
Yeah.
Right? So going out, I think, is more of a feeling. Like, you know, today you have a good day, you might want to go out for a beer or dinner.
Yeah.
But you didn't know that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Birthdays and occasions and stag do's, as you said, yeah, you're going to book that in advance. But when you are just out and about and you want to do things, then you want the thing to continue, you should be able to do that.
I think it's, and I remember, I think the days of the, obviously the days of booking sheets are over. Mm. And Robin talked about the fact they made cheat sheets for these teams when they instantly had their bookings on every day. But I genuinely believe that actually that want just to go and do what I want to do now. Mm-hmm. It's like all this work-life balance thing, like this new generation coming up. Everything's different. And I think that's a real...
100%.
It's a real play for our style.
Well, that's the thing is like obviously Open Table, they've got, you know, the sort of, you know, mainly a market leader. They've got the restaurants, they've got the booking system, they've got the venue app, and they've got the, you know, they've got their own table management. So they've got that. They've got the marketplace and that, right?
It's like an ecosystem of...
It is, yeah. It is. But, you know, we've got venues that are using Open Table, Seven Rooms, Collins, whatever, because it's kind of sitting on top and sort of topping up capacity as and when they
You're
need
the cherry.
It. Trying to be the cherry on top.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we also have restaurants, bars, events, and other things that if people want to quickly get a message out that they can and not sort of wait for a listing. So it's kind of a bit more accessible, whether it is simply topping up that capacity and not replacing a system.
Yeah. No, and I think it's also clever in terms of moving into a into a tech world, actually sitting amongst these guys who, as you said, 25-year legacy tech brands and actually being able to compliment them and be able to, you know...
Well, I don't, when I looked into them properly now, I was not looking to compete in that space because they are legacy systems and restaurants have, you know, they're used to using it and they don't want to uproot and change tech unless they absolutely have to. So how do you make something that can be literally explained in a 2-minute video to a venue and they go, yeah, I absolutely get it and I want it, that doesn't interfere with their systems and digitizes the walk-ins and replaces other means of bookings coming in and makes it easier. But the thing, what we're trying to do is obviously, like I said, it's not just restaurants. So you see people go to a restaurant, then you go to a bar, then another bar. So we're actually getting three movements in an app and then moving from one venue to the other. So everything on our app, we're trying to get people moving around these venues and not just sort of segment it.
I love it. Can you see any success? I mean, it's really hot. I don't want to put
Hopefully.
On... no, let me finish my question. I don't want to put you on the spot, but in terms of the venues.
Will.
But in terms of the venues, can you see much? Are you filling empty seats for them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the early days, it's like... The venues have been so good because the bigger relationship or the more relationships that we've had and just them understanding the narrative, like we're not going in there saying we're going to solve everything day one, here's this tech. And, you know, we're trying to say this is what we want to do. This is our marketing journey. This is what we're doing. And they're getting bought in with the right people. And hospitality, as you know, is all about relationship, right? You've got to be in it and understand it. And we've had them influence the app, so they're kind of it's working around a lot of people. But, you know, now we are starting to see regular bookings for the venues, and the messages that comes back is so good. Like, it's so bought in, and it's a pay on success model, right? So they're not paying for it until they get a customer.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing things like emailing out to their databases saying, hey, we're now on Amble, doing sort of shared posts and things like that. A lot of them have got sort of stickers in the windows of some of their venues as well. So it's nice that they're getting behind it, but, you know, it is very much a consumer app, but like solely focused on the venues as well.
Yeah, and you need their support, right?
100%.
Because without them, you don't
know. No, and everyone knows everyone. And the nice thing is when it's worked for someone, they've also passed it on to
people. Yeah, look, I put out a survey. I haven't presented the findings yet on how people buy tech. And interestingly, I think it was over 80% of CTOs, ops directors said that they only buy through their mates. They buy through referral.
Won't be surprised.
Yeah.
You would.
So they literally go to an event or whatever and just say, what do you use? I'm going to use what you use.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, we've just started the journey and we need to keep showing that it works. But the best thing that we've done is just be completely honest about where we are on the journey with the venues so that it's not...
I like watching your journey.
Thanks. It's getting there.
Yeah. It's getting there. You've been popping up. And what's interesting, Aaron, is when I speak to other people to come on the podcast, today it happened again. Someone mentioned you. No one knows you. None of them know.
No.
But they just keep, do you know Aaron? I was like, yeah, I know Aaron. I'll tell you who did know you.
Giggle. Dan, Dan. He's wicked. Yeah,
Dan was a real big fan. He was the one who introduced me to you, actually. But,
he's a great guy.
But I think relationships is absolutely key. And I always talk about partnerships. And the reason we built the marketplace was all about bringing people together to understand what people can do. And I think it's key for you growing, right? Because those guys are just
going to help
you. We're
not here to get each other. There's going to be competitiveness. There's going to be apps. There's going to be people that do similar. There's going to be, you know, there's a big question with investors. Oh, well, you know, what if someone like OpenTable copies you? And it's like, well, fine. Like, the restaurants get more bookings.
But they're not you, are they? And that's what I think is interesting. And I think it's exciting for...
But I'm not them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the way you carry yourself and the way that your brand is not, you know, it's miles from Open Table. Because they have to behave in a certain way because they are what they are.
Yeah.
So, I think it's exciting. I love the guys coming up and doing different
but
stuff.
But you have to cut and get it. Like, you have to... the work's hard. You know, it's a tough time to raise cash right now. Most founders will know, and it's so difficult, but you just have to, like, hustle more than anything.
Yeah.
It's non-stop, but when you start to see things happen, like, there is nothing better than waking up in the morning and seeing, like, 5 or 6 bookings, right? And you're like, okay, this is working. And then
it's
the next
validation,
day,
isn't it, as
yeah.
well?
And then the next day, it might be 10 or 20.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you start to be like, I'm actually onto something here. But that is where the real work starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the eyes get on you. That's where the scrutiny comes
in. It's not over. It's kind of just begun.
No. That's a long time.
And it's interesting because you're just in London right now. But I know you only, have aspirations.
Only, 100%. I mean, look, this app doesn't work if it's just a London app.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. You need tens of thousands of venues and you need hundreds and hundreds of thousands of regular people booking. But the nice thing is what we're seeing in London is using it as a proving ground. Like, we're already seeing, because of the variety that's on the app, we're very selective about the venues. We're getting great venues on, but it's the range of bars, restaurants and everything. It's all accessible.
Is there a selection criteria? Is there a way?
Yeah, you can filter what you want, you know, and there's constant improvements coming in, and like the UI changing, and we're incorporating a lot of like social media into the app so people don't have 1,000 pictures to look at. It's just sort of real. So all these things are coming out. But, you know, The main thing is what we're doing in London is using it as a proving ground. So we're not burning all our cash. We're getting it right here. So, yeah, the bookings are not few and far between. They're coming in. But, you know, we are seeing people go to 3 or 4 venues in a night, right? That's a massive user
case. Can you follow that user then going bing, bing, bing?
On our dashboard, I can see where
I saw your little map today. I thought it was great.
Yeah, but I can say, okay, so this booking of 4 went to this bar, this restaurant. Right, perfect. So that's pound success there. So you've got that unit connecting stuff. So we get somebody on and a user goes out in a group of 4, we're making £1 a head, right? So we make £4. Yeah, so if they go to another place, it's £8. So you can get people moving around quickly. Love now, that. If we prove it works here, then you can expand it to other cities. But the good thing about it, what we're doing now, when I mentioned earlier about the scalable and non-scalable, is we've already had 12 venues last month alone set up themselves and actually get a book in. So if we want to replicate it elsewhere, it's sort of what I want to make that plug-and-play model, that playbook, where, okay, we've proved it works here, the unit economic stack up, i.e. it costs us £10 to get someone on, but actually they're going to 5 venues over 2 months and we're making £25 out of them.
Yeah.
Out of a user there, it's all free for them. And then move it to other cities.
And is the aim to go to capital cities like globally, or are you going to do the UK first and then off you go?
The UK will do, because a lot of groups... or venues here have presence there, but then we also have venues that have presence overseas, and I'm always networking and always trying to unlock doors, cold calling, always trying to get into people's inboxes and try and get into things and sell what we're doing and get people behind it, and a lot of people have been. So I want to try and look internationally pretty quickly, but you need funds to do that. But if you prove it works here and you've got that roadmap, then you can raise the money.
I'm just interested in whether you see like the smaller town, like, you know, Bristol, for instance, compared to London.
But why not?
Yeah,
they can use it. I think it works. There's so much in the app for venues to market to customers, i.e., you know, like, you're a venue in Bristol, right? You have people come to you. You've got all these repeat customers. Yes, they go on a mailing list, but a mailing list is whatever. People come to you. They like you on the app. You can ping them out notifications saying, hey, we've got this on or we've got that on. And you can actually directly manage with your customers. And they've got an easier way to directly come into you rather than calling and emailing. So you can use the app how you want. You know, and the more active you are on the app, we're seeing the venues actually getting more bookings.
Yeah, you want to talk to, is it Sofa Sounds? Have you heard of them? They do like pop-up gigs, and they're like fully sold out within 7 minutes of launching. They do secret gigs all over the country.
Sweet.
Keep popping out. I'll introduce you
100%.
To them. Yeah, but very cool. But kind of thing, if you could find that on Amble, that'd be even better, right?
But you can literally make a profile on the app in 10 minutes. So we get it through. If you submit a profile, it's online. So that we have had some pop-up events happen, or secret events in certain bars, like all these things. And obviously then customers can see that. It's all kind of real time. So you could be out and there'd be a pop-up event next year. You're like, well, let's do it. So it's keeping people engaged like that as well.
I love it. I'm looking forward to Amble New York.
One day, man. One day.
You know you want to go to New York
100%.
First.
100%. You got to.
And what about the... Because I talked about iterations. You've got to keep... What does the roadmap look like? Have you got... are you... I mean, how big is your team?
There's eight in the nine now in the UK, and we've got five full-time developers outside the UK.
So it's getting to be a fair size.
Mm.
And is the roadmap? Have you got a lot planned? Is there big changes coming up over the next year?
Yeah. Well, so originally, like when I was walking around London after work, and I started to get my team together, and we were like pounding pavement, right, every day, and we had just over 1,200 venues that pre-signed up.
Yeah. Wow.
But we've only gone live with 350 now because I took the view. I didn't want to go live with everyone because there was things, not that things wrong, but the tech, you've got to get your tech right. Once your tech's right,
it would be madness. Yeah,
it would be madness, right? And then also limit it to sort of just some parts of London. Like we only launched in three small areas of London, then grew like that. Because now what we're doing is my co-founder speaks to all of our customers when possible. You know, hundreds of people he's spoken to. What do you want to see? How do you want to do it? And also the venue side is we're building it all around them. So what we've got now is another 10 weeks already of improving the UI, this button says this, being able to do that, this venue coming on, this venue. So we've got this continuous roadmap because we're speaking to both sides going, how do you need this to work all the time? But actually, because our tech team is quite large and probably one of the best we've... Well, my co-founder, Jed, ran a tech recruitment business, right?
Right.
So he knows good developers when he sees them. And when I called him and said, this is the idea, he was like, yeah, if you sack him in your job, I'll sack him mine. That was it. And episode said,
have you done it yet? I've done mine.
Yeah.
No, I've changed your mind.
You first. Yeah, but we've got this great tech team that we're working with because we started for an incubator and we're working with them now. And they're just so good and quick on the updates. And now we're getting into that flow of knowing what people want and having weekly updates in the app. I mean, the next 2 months, the app's going to be completely different.
It is interesting because you are an app. 50% of your team pretty much is developing.
Right? Has to be. If your tech doesn't work, if people go on it and go, well, forget it. Like, it's that.
Gone. Overnight, gone.
Yeah. But, and then you'll spend, what, 10 quid, like, to get someone to make a booking, and then it doesn't go through correctly to the venue.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Tech has to work. So that's why we scaled everything back, did, 80 venues to start with, or 75 venues to start with in small areas, small amount of people, and just tried to, like, tackle all the bugs, get the tech right. And we're coming up to that stage over the next few weeks where we'll be comfortable enough to go, you know, fit on the gas and know that it would just be, I'll say no, it would be self-sufficient, but be a lot more self-sufficient.
Well, because you've almost proved the pudding, right? So you've got that growth case there.
I was against pressure from investors to be like, well, you know, hit these numbers. And the best thing that we did was, like, we'll do it, but I'm not going to risk blowing up the app and annoying all these venues with something that doesn't work.
I love that. How many founders do you think take that approach? Not enough, maybe.
Well, I hope more because you can really succumb to the pressure of investors going, you know, you need this return, you need to hit these numbers, and this is where you said you'll be. And it's like, look, it's not slow and steady wins the race in tech or this. It can't be slow and steady, but you've got to be like grounded in your foundations, right? Yeah. So you've got to work really hard, but in the right places, the right kind of venues on, the right relationships on, the right features being added in the app. No point building something you think is really good, but then 20 people go, why have you done that? Those 20 people need to tell you that to do that, right? So it's because it's so consumer-led and so venue-focused, we just need to keep getting everything from them to how
and
we want to build it.
How do you gather the feedback? Is it through the app or is it through word of mouth?
We call them or email them and they have calls with us on the venues.
There's a lot of legwork.
With the venues, we are onboarding venues face-to-face. I've got head of sales and two other sales guys under him, and we go to venues all day, every day.
I love that.
But you have to, because if they don't get a booking for a week, they're not going to turn your app off.
Yeah.
They're like, we get it. It's fine. You're a startup. Let's do something together. Yeah. Let's do a free drink campaign. Let's email a database. And they're doing it, and the venues are amazing. And that's the key thing, is keeping that, trying to be as much sort of hospitality focused.
They are looking for levers all day long to pull, right? And I think obviously the bigger enterprise brands have got, they're all wrapped up in strategy and marketing and whatever.
Mm.
But for the mid-market and the independents, they're so keen to show us what we can do.
Well,
they're so flexible,
mm-hmm.
And they can really help.
Mm.
And what have you learnt most about, I suppose, you and Amble over the last, it's only a year. Is it a year?
We actually launched it in November, but I started the business. I quit my job last January.
Right, okay.
Quit my job last January.
You haven't eaten for a year?
Mm-mm. No. Slept either. but you don't know your product until it's out. you think you've got the most amazing idea. And, you know, signing up 1,000 venues is great, but that was more feedback, like, it's whatever until it's out, you know.
But that's part of the pre-investment, right?
Yeah,
saying, you've got to get... all these people.
Yeah, but you have the validation, but you don't know anything until it's out. And I think I learned more in a week than I did in a whole year of trying to launch start when the app was out. Because when it's out, and you've got to be on it quickly, intercepting problems and doing things. But it's a hell of a journey. And the best thing I've done is try and look at every other app that is doing something similar in that space and going, where can it be better and where can we be different? And the main thing that we try to do is the brand, like why we do what we do, why we're doing what we do, because people get comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Don't just want it to be a function. I want it to have the places people want.
Yeah, it's got a personality, hasn't it, as well?
Yeah.
Amble has definitely got...
trying to, yeah.
Well, that, you know, I'm a consumer, basically. I'm outside looking in, and I think it has. It's got... And as I said, you're a well-talked about... In our little world, you're a well-talked-about chap.
Hopefully in a nice way.
Yeah, yeah. But I think you're quite honest in the way the way you talk on, you know...
Appreciate that.
On social and whatnot. And I think that's a, you know... LinkedIn's become that. It's become quite cathartic for people. I think people are out there telling. But I think it's interesting because if you're a founder looking in or want to be a founder, there are certain things you need to listen to. And there are people 100%. Like you. You do need to... Because it's risky,
appreciate
right? What you've done is risky.
I put everything on the line.
Have you got kids? I didn't ask.
No.
Right, okay.
No, I don't. I'm in that stage of my life where I got married in September last year. My wife,
congrats.
Bless her, thank you. My wife, bless her, you know, she's so behind it and she's so straight to the point. Like, if she didn't think it was a good idea, she would tell me to pack it up quick.
Yeah.
But she's behind it and she gets it. And, you know, like, you're right about the founder space. Like, there's a lot of people that want to do something and then there's ones
everyone wants to see,
but... Like, it's so important to talk, because I've got so much insight from talking to people. What I did do really well was spoke to everyone I could that has done it, and even ones that didn't or failed.
Yeah.
To go where, because you can avoid pitfalls. You can get things wrong, but you have to avoid pitfalls.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that I have done well, you know, albeit, is go out and like learn how this shit works.
For sure. And my other company, Atollo, which does mentoring.
Yeah.
One of the big things about mentoring is learning from other people's mistakes.
100%.
So you get to speak to an older chap or girl or whatever, and they'll tell you, look, I did this, it didn't work. But it doesn't mean it won't work for you.
Correct. You know, and
just listen.
This is the thing, is like, you know, just because it didn't work for one person doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Just because that business didn't work and yours is similar, it doesn't mean that. It's all about your execution. It's all about how you do things, and everything can be done a different way to actually hit that nail on the head. And times change. You know, apps are relevant at different times.
And one of the things that impressed me most about speaking to yourself and people like, is the utter belief you have in your product. And I am 100% sure behind the scenes, you're headbutting walls and running around in circles, right, some days. But the utter belief that you display for your product, it's really admirable. And I think it's something that actually a lot of hospitality operators can look at and learn sometimes and think, do you know what? Believe in your people, believe in your product, and really go for it. Because there is no other option, right?
It's
go big or go home.
No other option. Yeah. And that's the main thing, is like, that, you know, everything from like the consumers that we genuinely talk to and the venues that we really spend the time with, like the team that I have are just like, the nice thing about the team is we didn't sort of recruit to fill because we had money and go, right, we need 3 sales guys in the marketing. We kind of had people go, I like this and I want to be in, and we made roles for them, and it's just been this lovely organic growth, and everyone's contributing to the business in such a way. And it's so nice to see, and I'm just quite excited for what's coming over the next few months. Like, it's been really tough, but we are in a good spot. You know, the tech's looking good, there's sort of funding there, and there's sort of investor conversations happening, and, you know, things like this are great, right? So Christmas I found really tough. Christmas I was in that founder's hole, like, I can't do this.
Yeah, it's a tough time, I think, isn't it? Because you're kind of looking out the window at everyone else who's got a normal life. Doing what they do.
But that's the thing you said about LinkedIn. Like, I do try and be honest, because I don't just want to be like, oh, everything's amazing. Like, we've raised loads of money and, oh my God, this app's great. My God, it's been shit sometimes. Like, really tough. Really tough. You have to be honest with about it, because it is relevant.
Yeah, no, I think it's really, and, you know, in the days of, particularly men, actually, my first season of podcast was 50% women. Kim Teo from Mr. Yerm.
Yeah, I bet Kim, she's great. Yeah.
Jennifer from PlayStat. But, you know, there's loads of great women who came on the podcast. This season, though, it's been all guys. I don't know why, it's just the way it's happened. But actually, men's mental health is ignored entirely a lot. And we all have it, whatever stage we're at. And I think it's absolutely important that people like you do.
There's been so much going on the last year, and even like Christmas time, it was just a pent up of everything. Like, the app was launched, there was all sort of things that happened last year, and I literally spent like 4 days in my room and didn't come out.
Jesus.
It was nuts. Yeah. I was so just, the pressure got to me. But then, you know, I spoke to a few people, got my head right. I've got a great team. I've got, you know, a business that I've always wanted to have. And you just sort of, I kind of felt like I had like transcended to a different mindset. And then that was it from there. So I literally feel, and that's the thing I probably love most about this business or having a startup, is the mental growth and resilience that I've built up from being in a job to this is second to none.
Literally, I was reading a post from you the other day, and underneath on my feed was a post from, it wasn't a post from the owner of Uber, it was someone who'd done some, listened to him speak, and he talked about the team you build.
100%.
And he talked about the fact that actually the people only have people around you who want to be there. And this sounds really obvious. I know everyone's rolling around going, oh, obviously. But only have people around you that need, that want to be there, and only have people around that make you better. And
completely agree.
And remove quickly the people that aren't.
You have to. And you know, that is something that will happen and will continue to happen, and it's tough. But like, I think the thing that I am most confident is finding people that you trust and like taking them with you, and they believe, and you're right, they back you and they believe in you, and that's half the battle if your team don't want to do or don't agree with you, but they're amazing, and that's not, didn't contribute to the stress, but that was something that I feel like myself and my co-founder have done to get these people behind us to really try and execute this vision, because without them we can't do it.
Well, I love it. I think it's brilliant. And what does this Christmas look like then? Let's pretend we're in December 23rd. You're about to go for your Christmas break. A bit earlier than that, hopefully. But what do you think you'll be doing this Christmas?
Working.
Where do you think you'll be?
Working in my room to make sure these
4 days
happen.
In my room.
Yeah. No, but we're at the stage now where like, we are seeing repeat bookings. We're seeing people get comfortable with the app. So I'm hoping by then we've got that. You know, we are contributing to a good percentage of people's, you know, bottom line when they're in these venues. So Christmas is obviously key for us, where people are stumbling out from office parties wanting someone to go. So it'll be the option to go, bang, I'm in straight to the next bar. Where next? Right. That's the key thing, is making sure that we own the headspace by then, where people can just sort of go to where they want to quickly and continue the festive period.
Love it.
And putting the money back into the venues.
Well, I think it's fantastic. And where do we find Amber? I know we talked about it, so we'll just mention it again. Where do we download? You can find it on Apple and Google.
Apple and Android for customers, completely free to download. And obviously we're only in central London at the moment, and for venues you can go on our website and literally make your profile in 10 minutes and get online.
What's the website?
Amble.co. Or you can obviously email into us and we can go for a meeting and set it up for you and get one of the guys to go.
And the name, Amble. Talk to me.
It was a bad name before.
No, I don't mind it, but what is it? I presumed it. I thought it meant like you amble along.
Yeah.
No? Does it?
Well, it's a word that's not really used a lot, and we wanted it to be four letters. And
I agree.
Just so it's quick and easy.
I was with a big tech firm last summer, and they're very big. And they were looking at a rebrand, and they went to a huge agency, and they came back and said, it has to be four letters, five letters maximum.
Shall we tell you what the original name was?
Go on then.
Oh, no, I can't.
Do it.
Right, so the idea of the app was spontaneous bookings, yeah?
Yes.
To get a table.
Yes.
So we merged it and called it Spontable, right?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, right? And then I can't remember who it was. It was either an investor or some high up person at. It might have even been James at BrewDog.
Oh, really?
Because I cold called him and I was like, this is my app. And he was like, I like the idea. He went, what's the name? And the sponsor went, you got to change that. So we went to his branding agency, an amazing branding agency, and we were like, this is our app. This is what we're going to do. And what I didn't realise is how important a name is to the brand and everything you do.
Yep.
So Amble's just become, Amble, I've heard of it. Amble, like, it's just become something that people say and rolls off the tongue and, you know, is what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to have an Amble.
Yeah. You know, the need to explore, yeah.
Yeah, love it. Look, brilliant. And we mentioned the website and the download for the app. Where do people find you? If you're willing to chat to them, where can they come and find you?
I like LinkedIn, anytime.
Yeah, he's on a lot.
Anytime. Yeah, a lot. No, but genuinely, if people are interested in the app or just how it works, and just if they're even trying to start a business or even in this space, then like, happy to talk to anyone. I genuinely believe you've got to do these things. Like, you've got to do it right. So LinkedIn or my emails, aaron.solomon@amble.co, so whenever.
Perfect.
No problem.
Well, that was brilliant. Thank you very much. If you haven't seen Amble, go and download now. Just do it now. And then especially, if you're not in London, do it now. And when you come down,
you can use it.
Yeah, there you go. Anyone in Bristol, we'll be there soon.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, that's it, mate. Thank you very much for
coming
on.
Chris,
I really appreciate it.
Nice one.
Cheers.